there's somebody in your family that has addiction, just come to the altar and let's pray and believe that God will break that addiction off of them, whether it's alcohol or drugs or anything. Just come to the altar and let's pray for them fervently that they're addicted.
Trials and the ups, the downs, the times we get it right, the times we almost get it right, the times we try to get it right and we mess it completely up, He's still faithful. Amen. And I'm grateful for that today and thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord that regardless of it all, we've always got to praise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Good to be here today. Thankful for everyone that's here. Amen. We just want to continue to worship Him this morning. Amen. Thankful for the goodness and the grace of the Lord. Amen. He has given us for today. The mercy of the Lord is new and fresh today. Amen. Praise the Lord. What was spent yesterday doesn't carry over to today, but it's new. Amen. Praise God. And I probably exhausted a lot of my mercy yesterday, I'm sure, but I'm thankful today. Amen. That it's new this morning. Praise God. We're just grateful again to be here. We're going to, amen, ask each and every one. Remember that today. Amen. I'm thankful. Amen. That we can go forward. Amen. His strength. Amen. Is perfected in our weakness. Amen.
Yeah. I just want to, that song just testified. My sister, she works for a school board and she goes back to work on Monday. Yesterday she was in a car accident that they're going to total her car. But she came out with other scrap. And I just give God the glory because y'all know I got a big family. And I pray every day for each one of my Columbine aims. And it just blessed me when she told me, actually she put it on Facebook, but when I saw that, I just began to shout. And I called her and I prayed with her. I said, you know the Lord was on your side. Car totaled. And seeing God's
strength.
All glory to God.
Amen.
All glory to God.
Praise God. Amen. I have said to them, when we're entertaining angels unaware, He keeps us, amen, protects us. I'm thankful, amen, for that today. Praise God. The ushers are getting ready. We're going to just remind you, amen, this evening is spot at 6 o'clock. So keep that in mind. That's for our junior and senior high students. Amen. The 23rd. This coming Saturday is men's scholarship at 9 o'clock, so keep that in mind. Also, today is nursing home ministry, so the kids could be released at noon. So if your kids are part of the nursing home at noon, they can be released, amen, to go downstairs to ready for that. Praise God. And so we're going to want the ushers to get ready to come. We're going to ask you to, amen, get ready to give today. Amen. Just want to remind it, just let you know that we are officially in contract. So we're looking forward, amen. Praise God. So we're looking again. I told you the time there is 8 months. So we're looking into April of next year for hopefully everything will be finished. And again, those things that are contingent and pending as we get into the contract. But just to let you know that. Amen. So let's continue to be prayerful. Amen. Fasting will always strengthen that. So we just thank you, the Lord, for what He's doing and His goodness. Amen. So we're going to ask you to get ready to give today. Don't forget, let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our country, the Middle East. Everything that's happening and going on. Amen. Let's just continue to pray for that today. So let's stand. Amen. We're going to make our offering declaration today. We're going to just declare that the Lord is good. Amen. He is faithful by His word. So let's make this declaration today. We faithfully bring our tithes, offerings, and gifts today. We understand it is a seed in our hands being sown in God's kingdom. We recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the source and provider of our seed. Today we declare a supernatural release of God's favor in every area of our lives, jobs and job promotions, original ideas, unexpected financial gain, the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous, debt cancellation, as well as healing and deliverance for the mind, body, and spirit. We declare this offering to be light to the darkness of this world, a harvest of souls and finances in this ministry. We proclaim the floodgates of heaven are opened over Judah Tabernacle in this last day revival. God has blessed us for the sole purpose of blessing others. Will you lift your offering, your hands today? God, we bless you. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for your provision. We thank you, God, that we recognize that you are the source of all that we have. Lord, as we bring our offering today, God, I pray as our hands are lifted, that's an offering unto you, Lord, as submission and surrender. As we bring our offering, we pray that you would take it, Lord, that you would release it into the kingdom, God. And as you do, in all the ways that you can, Father, you can take and multiply it, Lord. You can move and increase it by 100-fold, that you might be glorified and lifted up, because that's our desire. Lord, we just pray today that you would move in the earth, Father. There's so much that is happening in the world, in the earth, Father. We just ask today that you would manifest your kingdom and your glory in ways in all areas of this world to show your purpose, God, and that is to draw many, many unto you. God, I pray that you would help us to honor you, not only in our giving, but in everything that we do. Father, we thank you for all the promises made, written, and spoken, God, unto your people, to the body of Christ. We thank you for what we have watched come to pass over the years. Lord, you've been faithful. We know that you'll continue. So with that, we give you praise now for those that you have not answered yet, that have not come to pass. We love you today, God. We want you to be lifted up. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's able to give today. Bless in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the name of Jesus today? Amen. Let's worship him this morning.
Spirit of God, you're here. You have For nurture now, ages 2 through 5, amen. We ask the remainder of you in the sanctuary, amen, to go with us today to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, amen. Praise God. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word today. Praise God. If you have a Bible open there, if not, we have it on the screen. Amen. Again, it's good to have everybody today. I want to say amen. I love and appreciate you. Amen. The Lord loves you even more. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In ways that we're not capable of loving you. Amen. We can only love because of his love. Amen. Praise God, but we're thankful for you today. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read the first 7 verses of the chapter. Amen. As we give our text and get into the word today. Amen. Praise God. I mean, it's glad you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're thankful. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody have it. Say amen. Very familiar scripture says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him, my two sons, take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. He said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen? We're going to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word today. Come on, let's bless him today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 We release in this place, and we accept the Spirit, healing of the mind. Lord, I would seek to heal your people. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be lifted up and glorified. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You might be seated. Amen. Today, the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this song, the possibilities of nothing. The possibilities of nothing. Look at your neighbor and say that. The possibilities of nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Pretty familiar passages of scripture, amen, in here in 2 Kings chapter 4. Amen. But we need to note and look, amen, that the woman, amen, that began to cry out to the prophet Elisha. Amen. She was a prophet's wife. Amen. She was the wife of someone who dedicated their life to the service for God. When you look, amen, at the life of the prophets, amen, those that were of the guild of prophets or the sons of the prophets or in the prophets, however you want to say it, amen, they dedicated their lives, amen, to service for God. And the prophets of this guild, amen, they acted as a moral and a spiritual, amen, counterforce to the prevailing culture. Amen. So they were there to set that example. Amen. And they were there to bring, amen, the truth and the morality and the standards of God. Amen. To keep that before the people. Amen. And to remind the people of their covenant with God. Amen. So this man, as this widow said to Elisha, was a servant of God. He was one who dedicated his life to God. Amen. And so we know by this that this carried over into his family. And so this widow it wasn't just an average widow, amen, but maybe you could look at it in our sense is that she was a pastor's wife. She was someone whose husband dedicated their life to the service of God. And amen, when we know, when we see things happen to people, amen, who are faithful to God, sometimes we question and we can begin to wonder why, and we can begin to ask questions, amen. But now it got to the place, amen, where they owed debt, amen, because her husband was no longer there to provide for them and to take care of them. And so the Bible says that the creditor, the debt collector, was now coming to her house, and he was going to take her two sons to be slaves until the debt was paid off. And so imagine her plight, imagine her mindset, amen, that she has lost her husband, she does not know how she's going to live, amen, she doesn't know how she's going to make ends meet, and now, amen, by law, they were going to come and take her two sons and use them as slaves in order to pay off the debt, amen. So she approaches the prophet Elisha, amen, who was part of, amen, the guild of prophets, amen. He was a teacher of the sons of the prophets, amen. She goes to Elisha, who had come up under Elijah, we know, who had taken up the mantle of Elijah. When Elijah was taken out and translated, Elisha, amen, came into that same position, amen. And Elisha asked him a question. He said, "What can I do, amen? What do you want to do, amen, for you, amen?" This is, I think, amen, an interesting question, amen, that he asked her is, "What is it that I can do for you? What is it that you want me to do?" And see, he asked her this question, but I think it's notable that he did not give her time to answer, amen. And so he's asking her, amen, she's telling him, "My husband has died, I'm a widow, and they're now coming to creditors, coming to take my two sons, to sell them as slaves, to pay off my debt," amen. And so he said to her, in other words, "Do you want me to focus on your future? Or are you asking me to resurrect your past? What is it that you're asking me to do?" I want you to stay with me for just a minute this morning. Amen. I believe if you gave her time to answer, she would say, "Amen, bring back my husband. I want the life that I had before, when I didn't have to worry about whether the bills were going to be paid, when I didn't have to struggle about how we were going to eat, when I didn't have to wake up and face the reality that I don't know what we're going to do, when I didn't have to hear the knock on the door, amen, when the creditor come, amen, and said, 'If you don't pay off your debt by X amount of time, we're going to come and take your sons and work them as slaves to pay off debt.'" Hallelujah. But you see, Elisha knew something that she didn't know. He knew in order for her to receive the miracle that would be birthed from her present circumstances, that she would have to face the future and quit looking at the past. Amen. I would imagine every day she went back to how it was when her husband was alive. Amen. When he would leave and to provide and would come home and she could fix dinner. Amen. And they could live their lives without disruption and without chaos. Does anybody in the house know what I'm talking about today? Amen. When things were going well, when things seemed to be steady and stable, but then all of a sudden life happens. All of a sudden things out of our control begin to surface and things begin to change. Amen. And we can't control the change. We just have to roll with it. And we start looking back and thinking about how things used to be, what it was like when we didn't have to worry and we didn't have to struggle. Hallelujah. But she was going to have to think. And so I believe that Elisha, amen, was new in order for her to receive the miracle that was about to be birthed out of her present circumstances. circumstances. Touch somebody and say a miracle can come from your present circumstances. I feel that in the spirit this morning. Touch another neighbor and repeat yourself. A miracle can come from your present circumstances. For some that's hearing those words this morning, because of the uncontrollable situation and the circumstances that look impossible, you're thinking to yourself, I don't see how. But I come this morning to preach to you about the possibilities of nothing. When it looks like nothing is all you have, hallelujah, it's not too hard for God. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of worship right there. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, quit looking back. Hallelujah. Quit looking back. Now touch them again and say, look to the future. Look to the future. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get through this. Amen. As quickly as possible today. And I tell you, there's always oil, but we won't see it if we keep our focus on the past. All she needed was already in her house. Come on, somebody, hear me. It was what she focused on that made all of the difference. So I will tell you today, there's always oil. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But you just got to focus on the past. You're not going to see it if you continue to focus on the past instead of the future. How much time do we spend thinking of our yesterday? Wishing we could go back, or that God would resurrect part of our yesterday. Come on. So I want you to repeat after me. Yesterday is gone.
Yesterday is gone.
Come on, only about half of you repeated it. Everybody repeat with me. Yesterday is gone. Hallelujah. The good old days aren't coming back. How many times do we talk about, I wish I could go back to when I was younger. Back to the good old days. Amen. Back to when things were more simple. See, here's the thing. Hallelujah. Different times, I know, in different circumstances. But the reason that times were simple when you were younger is because you didn't have to worry about the things that needed taken care of. Amen. They weren't simple to your mom and your dad and the other adults who had to take care of them. They were only simple because all you had to focus on was that they were going to make sure when you went to bed at night, amen, you had a bed to sleep in. You had a home to rest in. And when you got up, you, amen, knew that mom and dad were going to make sure that you had breakfast. You had something to eat. Your clothes were clean to a good, amen. It was all about focus. It wasn't that they were really that much more simple. It's just that you didn't have to focus on taking care of the need. I need somebody to preach that later. See, that's what God is trying to help us to understand. That we can go to bed at night like David and lay our head down and rest, knowing that God is in control of everything. He's got a band of angels that are sitting watch over us. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? That whenever we have to, but if we do, he's there to pick us back up, and his grace will strengthen us. Somebody help me in this place today. See, you got to establish priorities. Where I'm going is better than where I've been. You have to establish that that is a priority. If yesterday is gone and the good old days aren't coming back, and you can't resurrect anything about yesterday, the only way to go is to move forward. If you stay still, you're going to die. If you don't keep moving, you're going to become stagnant. So the only way is to go forward. it's got to be better than yesterday. I need somebody to help me understand today that you realize that God will never leave you or forsake you. You understand that He is the one that said the end of the thing is always better than the beginning. Amen. I've never seen in all of my days one righteous forsaken, and none of the seed of God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, begging for provision. Somebody help me in this place. So that tells me that it's all about priority. You have to establish it. My strength is needed in my present, not my past. My strength is not needed in yesterday. It's needed in my present. And Elisha asked her another question. He said, what's in your house? What's in your house? See, we got it for it. If I've learned nothing else in the last 2 years of this season that I am in, I don't want to say I'm in because it ain't gone, but I am in. If I've learned anything, it is to take inventory of what's in your house. He said, what do you got? What do you got in your house? What do you want me to do for you? What can I do to make this better? Amen. And before she had time to answer, he said, what's in your house? Amen. She said, nothing except a pot of oil. Nothing except a pot of oil. Can I tell you that nothing cannot not happen when God is given control? Oh, come on, somebody. When God is given control, nothing is not the final answer. She said, I have nothing but a pot of oil. See, nothing is impossible with God. And when nothing is all that you have, there is a possibility of breakthrough still, because nothing is impossible with God. So the possibility that lies within the nothing is all on God and not on you. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Can I tell you that He is not the God of abundance, but He is the God of the leftovers. She had obviously had more than a pot of oil up until that moment. Hallelujah. Not only is He the God, amen, when everything is full and everything is in abundance, but He's the God of what you got left over. But can I tell you, He'll never leave you with nothing. I said, He'll never leave you with nothing. Touch your neighbor and say, God will never leave you. And He'll never leave you with nothing. Come on. God will never leave you. That's one statement. And He will never leave you with nothing. Can I tell you, hallelujah, consider Job. I was thinking about Job this morning. See, funny, I had a co-worker yesterday. They said, so what's the sermon for tomorrow? I said, I don't know. She said, what? I said, nope, I don't know. She said, well, I used to go to church, had a pastor, and he, in the summertime, he would do reruns Sunday. So maybe you can see to pull out one you've already preached and to ask the people which one's their favorite. I thought, honey, you have no clue. I just smiled and said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And when we were clocking out, she said, don't forget, rerun Sunday. I said, all right. Now, she's not going to ask me if I preach a rerun sermon. I'm going to go, what? So as the Lord was laying this on my heart at the 8 mile before the breaking of the dawn this morning, I was thinking about Job and how God said, considered myself a Job. When Satan was coming before God and he was trying to find somebody to mess with, God said, "You considered my servant Job?" He said, "Oh, yeah. But you won't let me touch him. I can't touch him. I tried, but I can't touch him." God said, "I'll lift the hedge. And you can take anything he has, even his health. But you can't have his breath." I've never looked at it like that before. You can take anything he has, even his health, but you can't have his breath. Because you see, I can't leave Job without nothing.
Come on,
somebody hear me. Let everything with breath praise ye the Lord. When we don't have nothing, amen, in our eyes or in the sight of what we consider, amen, substance, we've always got our breath. Amen. So the devil, amen, might get access, whether it's by God's permission or by our disobedience. He may gain access, but one thing he cannot have is our praise. So when you're down to nothing, you've still got everything that you need, and that's your breath to say, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Covered from head to toe with boils, sitting in the ashes, Job said, hallelujah, I know my Redeemer lives. I feel like I'm dying here, but I know he lives. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him." We can't keep our focus on what we don't have. Because let me remind you, the oil won't come that way. I said the oil won't come when we keep our focus on what we don't have. You say, "Well, what did Job have?" His faith. What did Job have? He had his faith. He said, "Though God slay me, I still believe him." Come on, somebody. Even when there's only ashes left, God can use the ashes. You just have to give him the ashes. Come on, are you with me? Even when all you have are ashes, he can use the ashes. Can I tell you that her issue wasn't her lack? Her issue wasn't the fact that she only had a little bit of oil left. That was not her issue. It was her perspective of what she had left. It was how she looked at the little that was left. It wasn't her lack, but it was her perspective. See, we can't let the solution to our problem be connected to what we don't have. Did you get that? I said we can't let the solution to our problem be connected to what we don't have. What if I just had a different job? If I just had a different spouse? Come on. If I just went to if I just had a different pastor, if I just had a day, if we just had a different house, things would be a lot easier. If I just lived in a different neighborhood, are you getting what I'm trying to say? You cannot let the solution to your problem be connected to what you don't have. If I just didn't have to work two jobs. See, quit calling what you have nothing. There's a problem. Therein definition, which is a matter of perspective. Quit calling what you have nothing. And I forgot to give this, but can you find me Job 23, verses 8 through 12 in the complete Jewish Bible? Because I want you to hear the words of Job. See, our miracle can't be connected to what we don't have. The transformation of our present circumstances cannot be linked to what we don't have. It can't be linked to our nothing. See, Job, and you got to understand, I know how it feels to look and to feel like God is afar. That feeling of looking for Him. And here's what Job said. He said, if I head east, He isn't there. If I head west, I don't detect Him. If I turn north, I don't spot Him. In the south, He is veiled, and I still don't see Him. So Job, in heavenly terms, said, in every direction that I look, I can't find God. I don't see Him in where I am. He's not there. Yet He knows the way I take. Huh? And when He has tested me, I will come out like gold. When He is finished testing me, oh, hallelujah. How many's ever heard that, remembers that sound that used to come on the TV and the radio, that annoying, this is the test of the emergency broadcast system. In the event that you hear this sound, blah, 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 you're like, yeah, shut it off. Hallelujah. How many's ever went to pray, went in prayer, and you hear that emergency signal, amen, like you're trying to get connected. Nothing worse than being, amen, having a phone that's supposed to be connected, amen, fast, no matter where you are, but yet there are some dead places where you try to get connection, and you can't get connection. Oh, God help us with our third world problems. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. But it's nothing more frustrating, especially when you need to do something or you need to make a call, and you're like, I pay for service, and I can't even get service everywhere I go. Job said, everywhere I look, I can't. He's supposed to be here. You would think if I don't see Him in this direction, He's at least going to be in that direction. And if He's not there, He said, I can't even spot Him. And if He's there in the south, there's a veil over it and I can't see it. But yet He knows the way I'm going. Words, He's sovereign and He is in control. Then He said, my feet have stayed in His footsteps. To His way. Without turning aside. You see, when we put our faith and our focus in the future, God's already there. The Bible says there's not a way that we will go, not a temptation that we will encounter, that Jesus has not previously already encountered and overcome. So wherever you go, that's why wherever the sole of your foot steps, it's already yours. All you got to do is take it. Hallelujah. When you put one foot in front of the other, make sure that you're putting it in the footsteps of the one that's on before you. Hallelujah. The way of man leads to death, but the way of God leads to eternal life. So I don't withdraw from His lips command. I treasure His words more than my daily food.
Yeah.
Wow. So Job knew what it was like to feel forsaken. See, we got to change our perspective. What will He do with what we have? It's not about what I don't have or the nothing, what I have being. Can I talk to the ladies for a minute? And I know this don't apply to every lady, but how many times have you went to your closet and you're like, I don't have nothing to wear. I don't have any shoes to match this dress I've had for 15 years. I don't have any shoes. I don't have nothing that I wear because you wear the same thing all the time. But is it amazing that you can call a whole closet? We're not going to discuss how big your closet is. It doesn't matter if the closet only has four outfits or if it has 400. You go there and say, I don't have nothing to wear. It's about perspective. See, you gotta quit saying that what you have is nothing and say, what will God do with what I have? What am I going to do with this little bit of that today? Lord, have mercy. Here I am, thousands of years, reading about this widow woman who has no name. God never bothered to give us a name or any kind of family tree. Hallelujah. But hear her nothing. God used her nothing to be in the Holy Scriptures. Her story has been preached on, it's been taught on, it's been talked about now for thousands of years. And here we are now in the 21st century, still talking about what God did with this widow woman's nothing. Can I get somebody to help me? You never know what God is going to do with the miracle on the other side of your nothing. You never know how many lives are going to be impacted and changed and touched. Hallelujah. You don't know that this nothing may go down in the history of your life as the greatest turnaround that God has done and will ever do until your life is finished. Come on, somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying today? I'm preaching about the possibilities of nothing. Can I tell you something? The pot of oil was there before the dead came. I want you to hear me. The pot of oil was there before her husband died. Are you understanding me? The pot of oil was older than her present problem. Some of you will get that next Sunday. It was older than her problem. See, that oil was there all along. Her nothing was there all along. See, God's trying to tell us that the solutions are present before the problem even shows up. Before your nothing becomes nothing, the solution is already present. It already is there before the problem happens. It was there all along. I wonder how long the stone was in the water before David used it to slay Goliath. We know that water is what makes stone smooth. And David, amen, used a smooth stone. So somewhere water had to run over that stone and make it smooth. We don't know how many years that stone was there before David used it to slay Goliath, but when he needed it, God had him in the right place at the right time, and it was there, amen, and God used it to bring down Goliath, hitting square in the forehead and knocking down. See, we don't know how long. Are you hearing me? You see, her situation, amen, was not there before the oil was. The oil was there before her problem was. It was older than solution to your nothing today is already there. It's already in existence. Are you hearing me? But see, she had to, amen, admit, hallelujah, amen, and realize, and be forced to admit that she needed others, that she could not do this by herself, but that she needed others. See, when we get to the place where we finally accept that only God can take care of this situation. Now, when Elisha asked her what she had, she said she had a pot. Now, when we look at this word pot in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word osuk. And it means a flask. So she literally only had a little flask of oil in her house. But I found it interesting, never really looked at this before until today, but I find it interesting that Elisha used a different word. Elisha said, go get vessels. This word in the Hebrew is kolah. It's translated in the complete Jewish Bible as containers. He said, go get containers. Now, the word kolah, interesting, means something already prepared.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it up. You get paid.
She said, all I have is a little flask of oil. He said, I want you to go get some containers. I want you to go get something that's already prepared. It means something that is accomplished. So my point is as the word she used to describe what she had was different in comparison to size in the word that he used to tell her what she was going to get. Somebody help me. He was telling her, your nothing is going to become such an abundance that you don't need flasks. Are going to be a waste of time, but I need you to go and get some containers because I've already got some things prepared. Somebody better hear me. I feel that in my belly. I've already got it prepared. I've already got it accomplished. So you got to focus, amen, on the idea that nothing is not an impossibility for me, but it is actually a possibility. Hallelujah. And he said, I want you to go and get not a few. So in other words, you know, compared to her flask, and even 2-3 containers would be a great abundance. But God said, I've got more than you can even. So here's the thing. See, when he told her not a few, that means you don't stop when you have what you think is enough. That sometime, amen, before the end of the month, amen. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop asking. Don't stop talking to your neighbor. He said, go to your neighbors and ask to borrow, amen, some containers. Get some things that's already prepared. They done got it cleaned. They done got that vessel ready. Come on, somebody. And if there's a, hallelujah, something in it, they'll pour it out. Oh, somebody help me. And make room for the provision. And say God's making room for the provision. I thought this morning, God, there must be things in this vessel that still need emptied out because you're still cleaning. But clean it out so I can make room for what you have intended for me. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So don't stop knocking. This neighbor might have 10 that they can spare, but don't think that that's enough. I want you to keep knocking. I want you to keep knocking. Amen. And they knocked until they knocked on every neighbor's door. And then every neighbor left said, I don't have any more containers. Are you hearing provision. Prepare. I'm about to finish. So you hang with me. And he said, then I want you to go in the house. And I want you to close the door. I almost made my message focus on this point. He told her to close the door. Leave out your past. Leave out your dead husband. Come on. Leave out the dead. Go in the house. Close the door. And leave everything else out. He told her what to put in. But he also told her what to leave out. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you hear me? We'll believe and accept what God tells us to put in, but we try to bring in, amen, the past. You got to quit focusing on yesterday and the past. You got to quit focusing and looking at what you have as nothing. But he said, close the door. Leave the thoughts, the fears, the regrets, the disappointments, amen, the hurts, the questions. Leave all of the things, amen, that might cause you at what you have left as nothing, and close the door and don't let it in, because I've got a provision. Hallelujah. You see, the possibilities of nothing were in the house. Hallelujah. The possibilities, oh, what he could do. Hallelujah. With just a few containers, can you imagine? In her, and the enemy saying, what you gonna do now? But God multiplied that little bit of oil, amen, the possibilities that were in her nothing. And Elisha said, when you get them all filled up, he said, listen, go pay off all your debt, and you and your sons will live off of the rest. You know what that tells me? That she would have enough to live for the rest of her days. Oh, come on, somebody, help me in this place. That what God was providing for her was enough for her to live on for the duration of her days. The question is what do we do when the door is closed? See, that makes all the difference in the outcome. What we do. Do you take the words, you come and you hear the word and you receive the word, but what do you do with it when you go home and shut the door? Do you apply the word? Do you take it and apply it? See, because that's where the real testing comes from. Is when you start applying it. When you start believing it. When you start trusting it. When you start declaring it. That's where the real testing comes from. How we respond to the present circumstances behind closed doors will make the difference in the outcome. He that dwells of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will be kept under the shelter of his wings. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
When you take the word you receive home and you close the door, what do we do with it? See, she obeyed Elisha's command. to know was God's command. But she obeyed Elisha's command. She took his word for it. I would imagine if her sons, I thought about two sides. See, I guess if I was her sons and thought that somebody was going to come and take me and make me a slave, I might be willing to knock on every door in the neighborhood and the neighborhood on the other side. But on the other hand, I thought about one of her sons were like the average teenage boy.
Amen.
Ask them to put a dish in the dishwasher. Let alone mow the grass, rake leaves, help clean the house. Come on. Have responsibility other than getting everything you need and plus everything you want and relaxing in a chair in front of a screen. See what I mean? So I go to the thing, and one of the things I'm like, Mom, we've knocked on so many doors. So funny. Y'all know by my post, we have too much landscaping. It's different. In my opinion, it counts because I'm in the house. It's a lot. And it's so funny. Because late in marriage, I want to help. Because it's all about using the tools and all that. And then about maybe 15 minutes in, you turn around and tools on the ground and they're gone. The man's like, I thought you wanted to help. I'm tired. It's too hot. It's too hard. That's kind of what I picture them, boy. Are you serious? We got to knock on another door. When I wasn't asked to help, I was told to help.
Yes.
My generation was told to help. When you live and say, what?
Right.
That's why we're still here.
You said what? You got what? My mom was not a ball player, but she could swing around, man. No joke. Am I not telling the joke?
Yeah.
She could swing around.
Yeah.
But how often do we take the word and we get home and close the doors and we stop because we think it's enough or we don't see real evidence. So it's what we do when the door is closed. What we do with that word is what will make the difference. Because when they got all the vessels that they could get, she began to take her little flask. Now imagine that. A flask might be about this size, I don't know. But imagine taking the little flask and then begin pouring it out. In, I don't know, something in a 3-gallon container. Here you're going to go, this is stupid, or God, you said, I'll trust you. And she began to pour it out. And the more she poured, the more oil that stayed. So it never ran out of that flask. But it was enough to fill all of those big containers. I heard a testimony recently. And I'm not saying everybody has to go this extreme, but this woman believe that the Lord promised her that her husband was going to get saved and be in church with her. So you know what she did? Sister Kaylee, she went and bought a suit. And she put that suit on the hanger. And every Sunday since she went to church, she laid that suit
on. Amen.
And sometimes when she would get blessed and feel the presence of the Lord, she'd pick that suit up and run around the church with it. Well, guess what happened? Her husband got saved. And wore that suit to church. And if that wasn't enough, they tried to have a baby.
Oh, come on.
And they couldn't have a baby. So you know what she did? She bought a onesie. And she took it and laid it beside her in the pew every service she went. Last I heard, she got two babies now. She got two because she believed that if God said it, then I'm going to pour it out and believe it. This looks like nothing, but with my nothing, there's so many possibilities in the nothing that God can do. Are you hearing me? Amen. So it's what she did. And again, I don't have to do it. That stream, but what my point was, amen, is that, amen, she did what God said, amen, she took the little, amen, that she had and she could do, and she began to pour out, amen, and every container that she had was filled, because you see, that's where the real testing begins, is when you begin to apply it, when you begin to pour it out, that's where the real testing will begin. Amen. That God, I believe it. You said it. I believe it. I'm trusting in you. See, your nothing is a possibility for God to release a supernatural miracle. I don't know who's in this place today. Amen. That come in thinking what you have left is nothing. Thinking that what you have is nothing, but God has come with me, amen, to me today with this word to encourage you, amen, to quit focusing on yesterday, quit focusing when you thought your nothing was enough. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? When you thought your nothing was sufficient, quit focusing on that and focus on what you have, amen, left. Don't call what you have left nothing. But even though it looks like nothing, the possibilities of nothing with God are endless. He can take a little and make it a lot. He took the woman's little bit of meal, amen, and that little bit of oil she had, amen, all she had left, and she gave it to God first. God multiplied it and filled it up for her in a time of famine. That was for the prophet Elijah. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. She had a lot, amen, this widow with Elisha had a lot to be worried about. She had a lot to be distraught over. She was the widow of a pastor, amen, the widow of a prophet who had dedicated his life to God. By all accounts, amen, should have been left, hallelujah, amen, there, and God should have kept him, hallelujah, and he should not have died. But nonetheless, hallelujah, the circumstances were out of her control, and she used all she had, and what she had left, she thought she called it nothing. But God said, if you'll give me that nothing, the possibilities with that nothing are going to be endless. So I don't know who's here today. Is they getting ready to come to the music? As you get ready to make your way, hallelujah, amen, to the pulpit, hallelujah, I want to talk to you that is here this morning. Amen, you come in here with a mindset, hallelujah, that what you have left is nothing. You see it, amen, as not enough. But I want you to hear the Lord today to tell me, by telling you, amen, quit looking back on yesterday. Quit looking back at the past. Hallelujah. But take this word today. Go into the secret place and you close the door. Begin to apply it. Live your life. Live in that faith and believe, because I believe that somebody or some people today, that there's a miracle in your nothing. In your nothing is a miracle. But you've got to apply it and believe it. again. When life gives us circumstances that are out of our control, I understand when circumstances force us to be in places that we don't like, in places that are uncomfortable, in places that challenge the very essence of our faith in God, our trust in His Word. You're not focusing on the past. You're not focusing on yesterday. You're ready to take the word, go ahead and close the door, and let God use the nothing. I want you to come. I want you to come. Come on, quickly. So now you see what everybody says.